I invite you to stand now for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the Gospel according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this day that you've called us together, and we thank you for your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you, O God, and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Throughout my ministry, there's been several times when I've met with families or individuals about baptism when they have asked me about river baptisms. They've asked me if I've ever performed a baptism in the river, and the answer always is no. That question always comes up when I'm trying to explain what it is that United Methodists truly believe about baptism. And when they ask me about river baptisms, my heart stops and I hold my breath for a moment, because my greatest fear is that that's what they'll want. They'll want to go down to the river and be baptized. My appointments in New York were all along the Hudson River, and here we're not that far from the Susquehanna. So when that question comes up, I truly am a little bit nervous that they'll want to go out there in the raging waters of a river, which are untamed, and I will get terribly wet, and I will be cold. It's really all about me anyway. So, you know, what really do people understand about baptism? The reason I think that I have this anxiety about a river baptism is that there's something really that's surprising and unforeseen and alive about a river. It truly is untamed, and you never know what will happen when you put your step into that river. What might occur? What would the waves be like? What would the temperature be like? It's not like standing around a comfortable font where we know the water temperature. We know that it's cozy and warm. We're not going to probably have anything wild or crazy happen when we gather around the font for a baptism. But that's probably the exact opposite of what we should be thinking of when we think about baptism. Truly, we should be thinking about something surprising, something miraculous, something untamed, something wild and crazy will happen when we gather around the baptism font. We've made it nice and neat and cozy, and it's comfortable for us. But that's not truly what baptism is all about. The Gospel of Mark this morning is the story, of course, of Jesus going to John to be baptized. It's almost like we have liturgical whiplash in this season. We've gone so quickly from Jesus in the manger to the Magi bringing gifts, and now we're 30 years later and we're with the adult Christ in the waters of baptism. But the true thing about our season is that we are in this season of Epiphany, the season when we're seeking out who Jesus really is. We're looking for that true meaning to be revealed, and that's what Mark's gospel gives us today. The true meaning of who Jesus is. Mark is a very lean gospel, and by that I mean he just shares the facts. Probably I'm dating myself, but how many remember that show Dragnet where you heard, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." That's Mark's gospel, just the facts. And so today he doesn't spend a lot of time. We don't hear him creating a lot of dialogue about who John is compared to Jesus and what their relationship was like. We just know that Jesus, as an adult, came to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. And we heard in that story that it wasn't really a tame event at all, for the heavens are ripped apart. God's Spirit comes down, and Jesus hears from God himself, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." It's interesting that Mark says that the heavens were torn open. It's as if Jesus was the answer to an age-old prayer, that prayer of Isaiah, that the heavens would be torn open and God would come down, that the heavens would be torn open and God would come down. That's what happens at Jesus' baptism. We are reminded that God has come down, that God's Holy Spirit has touched Jesus, and that Jesus, from that moment on, it's his public ministry, and things will never be the same. The Holy Spirit has landed on Christ, and he'll never be the same. We sometimes forget the danger, the risk, the vulnerability when the Holy Spirit is invited into our lives. The Holy Spirit sent Jesus from that River Jordan out into the wilderness. In fact, the River Jordan actually separates the land of milk and honey where the Israelites were to the wilderness of the Exodus. And Jesus crosses back over that Jordan River to be in a wilderness experience as he tries to understand what it means to be God's son. We tend, as I said, to make our celebration of baptisms rather tame, very comfortable. We sometimes miss how vulnerable we are in that moment when we invite the Holy Spirit to truly invade our lives. The Holy Spirit touches us, and we should be different. The Holy Spirit comes down in baptism, and we too should move away from the walls of our church back out into the community to share the good news. Because many of our baptisms are infant baptisms, we sometimes forget that order, that demand, that command is upon parents and families, that we too would witness to that good news. The scripture from Acts that Marty read for us this morning is a reminder that the early church didn't always understand baptism either. Apollos, who has been preaching in Ephesus, has the scriptures tell us was an eloquent speaker, that he interpreted scripture well. But one day, Paul's co-workers, Priscilla and Aquila, needed to pull Apollos aside and say, "You don't really have the full understanding of baptism." And so they really needed to help him to understand the full meaning of baptism, not just John's baptism, but baptism by the Holy Spirit. And so in the story that Marty read for us this morning, Paul has now come to Ephesus. Paul has come to Ephesus, and he's working with 12 would-be disciples. And he's asking them, what is their understanding about their beliefs? What do they understand about baptism? And they all admit that they have been baptized by John's baptism. And Paul asks them then, "Were you not baptized by the Holy Spirit?" And they do not even know of this Holy Spirit. They do not even know that this Holy Spirit exists. And so probably after some teaching and some explanation and some expounding on who Christ is, Paul lays hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit, and those 12 disciples, their lives are changed. They receive the lively gifts of the Spirit that lead into lively worship. They receive the gift of tongues and of prophecy. They now can boldly witness to the good news of who Jesus is, because they have received not only the baptism of repentance, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sending them forth to be faithful disciples, to continue on the way of Jesus Christ. We have a tendency, even in the church, to think about John's baptism more than we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John's baptism truly was a baptism for repentance. People were coming out to see John, repenting of their sins, being baptized so that their lives could be turned around. It was really a preparatory baptism to prepare them, to prepare their lives to receive the greater gift of the baptism by the Holy Spirit. Truly, we sometimes see baptism still as that end step. rather than a beginning step. Too often we see that repentance, that washing away of our sins, as an end rather than a first step. John's baptism, that baptism of repentance, is truly to prepare us for the greater baptism when God's Spirit touches us and sends us forth. Our understanding in the United Methodist Church of baptism is that it's a visible sign of an invisible grace that calls us together into the community of faith, that initiates us into God's great family, where we are brothers and sisters of Christ. And so we tend to have that thinking that, you know, it brings us together as a family, but we miss the point that it also sends us out. We celebrate together, but that celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit also sends us out in witness and in service. Most of my baptism services have been rather orderly and tame. There's not too many surprises. There's not too many moments where I feel like it's, you know, the Holy Spirit has grabbed us all and we're ready to go. Annie Dillard, in her book, Teaching a Stone to Talk, says that if we really believe that the Holy Spirit invaded our lives at baptism, we would all be handed crash helmets by the ushers, and we would need to wear life preservers. We have become very tame, very tame. But the truth is, at every baptism we celebrate, we invite the Holy Spirit to touch the life of that child, the life of that family, the life of our congregation. And it really is a wild moment. It really is untamed. And it really should be lively, and it should force us out of our comfort zones into the rivers of life, pushing us further and further away, but empowering us to share the good news. We really need to think about our baptism and again be reminded of the power in the water and in that moment. Today is a day when we will reaffirm our baptism vows, and we remember what God has done as we've been baptized. But before that, I'd like you to listen to the music that Carrie Underwood would sing. There's Something in the Water. And so we'll share that video now. Truly, something miraculous happens in the waters of baptism. We may not remember that moment, especially if we were baptized as infants, but today is our opportunity to remember that we are baptized, that we are beloved of God, that we have been claimed, and that we are changed and we are stronger. We need to remember that in our daily living, that as baptized Christians, not only have we been washed in the water, we've been anointed by the Spirit, and the water and the Spirit send us forth to serve. We need to remember that we live in the strength and in the assurance of the Holy Spirit's presence. And we need to be ready for the surprises. We need to get out of the tameness. We need to be prepared for the wildness of God's world. We need to claim the power of the Holy Spirit as we live as baptized children of God. There really is something in the water. Amen.